May want to market that self-control banana. I'll tell you what, you know. It's going to curb me from eating chocolate and junk.
No,
I don't have a chocolate problem. That's right. Heavy hot salsa.
I hear it.
I have a hot salsa. I'm not a sugar guy, so. Anyway. Just a thought. Beer. Bobby Baker. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. You know what? I just want to say something, too. We got kids in here that are tithing. Isn't that good? We got kids that are teenagers that are givers to the church, and I'm telling you what, you guys are blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Some adults, we could take some of their example, but I am so proud of all the teenagers. They give and they sow and online, and good for you guys. Way to start off. You're doing a good job. Amen. Well, let's turn. Why don't we crack the Bible open? That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? You know what? Since we're in our church, let's just go ahead and read the Bible. How's that? Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah, I think we should do that. John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. Oh, John chapter 16, verse 14. Now, tonight I want to talk about the Holy Spirit.
14 or 16.
John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Yep. Bless you. And also, too, just kind of pause here really quick. I'm going to be led is some people may not understand what we're doing, praying the Spirit, Holy Spirit. What that is, you know, if you're not familiar with that, in the book of Acts, Jesus commanded the disciples to wait in Jerusalem and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a person. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in that tongue stuff. Tongues are just a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That's why I can tell they don't have any idea what they're talking about. I don't like that tongue stuff. Well, I'm sorry, but it's like saying I don't like salvation. It's part of Jesus, right?
Right.
It's a byproduct of Jesus, salvation. Hello? I don't like that love stuff in church, and I don't like that. So, well, you're not going to like heaven. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you right now. Bobby Baker is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. There's love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, long-suffering. All of those good things in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And that's just a byproduct of God. That's who He is. Right? So if you don't like any of those things, I'm telling you what, you're not going to like heaven. It's not the place for you because people are nice there and they want you there. Right? Unlike some people you work with. Or your neighbors, right? Right? Or some family members. You know, all my family members are perfect. So, you know, we're all perfect. Kidding. But you know, John chapter 14. I should go on, shouldn't I? I'm going to dig myself a hole here in a minute. But there's all kinds of people, right, around you that, again, you may have some challenges in life, but I want to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight within. Amen? Let me just pause here for a moment. You know, there's just a lot of weird stuff going on in the news. Right? I'm not sure. You're watching and you're thinking, this is all interesting stuff. Very interesting here. But we need to have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to help to discern some things, right? Because I'll just say right now, I don't believe anything on TV, and I don't believe any of the news at all. I have to go down here and find peace. And you need to do that too. Right? Because there's a lot of fear-mongers down there, out there. There's a lot of people, you know, Christians and non-Christians, talking about crazy stuff. And you know what can keep us anchored? Number one, this thing. Right here. You know what I did today? I had to mow my grass today. That was a blessing, right? And it's hot out. I just feel like I was knocking weeds down. You ever feel like that? It's like I'm not really doing anything. I'm just knocking weeds down here and, you know, trying to shape things up and everything too. So I'm hot and everything. I'm just a little bit. And then had to do a few things around the house. So I was a little irritated. So you know what I did? I started reading 1 John, you know. Adrian and I were talking about that. I'm like, you know, how many times I have to go back and read 1 John? The pages are coming out because
I need to practice my love walk.
So, yes, I'm a pastor, but I do need to practice. So I got to get in 1 John sometimes and read that. Yeah, a lot, right? Because I need to train my mind, right? Because you know what? Let me just say this. Having feelings doesn't mean that you're bad, but it's acting on those. That's where it turns to sin, yeah. Right? Because we know that God was angry with Israel, and he wanted to just... I'm just glad that Moses and God didn't get together on the same page, because, you know, Moses at one time was like, God, these stiff-necked people, I'll tell you, get me out of here. And then at one time, God's like, I'm writing a bill of divorce met there in Deuteronomy. I'm just going to kill them all. So, you know, God's been irritated and mad before during, you know, several times in the Bible, right? So, you know, emotions aren't necessarily bad, but it's how we act on it. So, you know, it's good to get into places like 1 John, read that epistle there, and, you know, get your mind renewed on the love walk. Amen? Because, you know, as long as we're in the flesh, we're in this world, we're going to have annoying people all around us, and you just, God bless you, right? Some of those things, you just see people on TV, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, did you get your degree from a Cracker Jack box, or what's going on there, bud? Anyway, the Holy Spirit is our helper, first of all. And no matter what we're going through, we need to press in on the Holy Spirit. He's the one that has the answer. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Guess what? The Holy Ghost isn't going anywhere. How many people in the denomination religious realm will say, God, I don't know where you're at. I mean, is Jesus a liar? That's why it's important to read the word, because, you know, we can feel sometimes like we're all alone. You know, Jesus on the cross, what did he say? Father, why have you forsaken me? The only time that we see Jesus concerned was when the Father turned his back on Jesus. Because why? Because sin was being put on, our sin was being put on Jesus on the cross. But that's the one time where, again, the Father was separated. And that's where Jesus experienced death, was when the Spirit left him. Do you realize that's when really death is separation of God in our lives, right? We see in the Garden of Eden, that's when death happened. Now, people will say, well, Adam and Eve didn't die right away, and God said they were going to die. No, they spiritually died that day, and it took them almost a millennium to actually kill off, for the physical body to die off. But their spirit man was dead. But we see here in John chapter 14, and it says, again, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is not going anywhere. He's always with you, no matter where you go. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I'm going to stop there a minute, but I'm going to come back to that. Because it sees him not, neither knows him not, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be what? In you. The world, can I just say this too? This is why the world thinks that we're crazy, because they don't have the ability to comprehend what we know. They don't have that capacity. We have a capacity they don't have. I remember watching this atheist, and he was talking about, well, what can Christians do that we can't do? Love God. That is the most important activity of human activity, is to worship God. And you know, if you're born again and you're saved, your spirit man is born again. And there in 1 Corinthians 5:17, we have, you know, passed from death into life, and we are a new creature. We have the capacity to worship God that people in the world don't have the ability to do, because we worship in spirit and truth. And how do we worship? And they can't please God, because the only way you please God is to what? Obey him. So if you're a heathen and you're an atheist and you don't believe in God, you are not pleasing him, and you don't have the capacity to worship him. That's kind of a big deal. Because we think we're new in heaven. We're going to worship him, right? Am I getting too far out there for you? So again, we as Christians, we are born again on the inside. We've proclaimed him as our Lord and Savior, right? We're changed on the inside, and there's the Godhead is with us now. Whether you feel like it or not, feelings have nothing to do with it. I'm going to go down that road here in a minute. The Amplified here says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, which is counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby." I'll take all those, please. Right? Just that whole list, that's mine. I'm just taking them all, right? Everything the Holy Ghost has is just mine. Then he goes on and he says, here what? That he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Again, the world doesn't have the capacity. They think you're crazy. That's okay, right? I don't get mad at sinners for sinning, because guess what? That's what they do. Dogs bark, cats meow, and politicians steal. But, oh, I'm sorry, did that slip out? They lie, I mean. But the point is that this their nature comes out. You can't change that. So we can't get mad at people. Yes, I want them to change, but that's all they know how to do. All right, where is that for interrupting myself? Oh, it says here, "For he lives with you." I'm sorry, let me back up here. "Whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him, nor knows and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you." I always love God and the Word, because the Word, you get the point. At least you should. It won't leave you. Never forsake you. Always there with you. Okay, I think I got it now. Right? Kind of like Joshua telling, or in the book of Joshua, God telling the people, be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. And then, by the way, be of good courage and don't be afraid, and just walk it out, and don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. And don't get scared. Just keep going. God keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Why? Because he's trying to get a point to us. So we know the Holy Ghost is never going to leave us. Here we go. "I will not leave you orphans," in case you didn't get it the first 12 times, "comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you." He's got our back. He's for us, not against us. So again, you see or notice that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be our comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Woo! I'll take all that, please. You know, and I think some people too, once they get baptized in the Holy Spirit or they get born again, now your experience is completely different. You don't base what it is you experience or don't experience on whether God's real or not. I remember when I worked for Faith Library Publication for Kenneth Hagin Ministries, one of the guys that I worked with, we were both doing sales, and we always had great conversations when we were on the road or wherever we were at, in the office or wherever. We always talk about the Word. We always talk about things. And you cannot believe we'd go to Christian conferences and how many people we got born again at a Christian book conference and how many people got baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we're praying for people. We'd have people like slain in the Spirit right there, and we're praying for people. And I mean, it's a free-for-all. Hey, you want to come talk to us? You came to the right place, buddy. We had just a great time. And then we had these people that would do the old walk around, you know, like we're lepers or something, you know. I just want to go, shabba-ba-ba, you know. Woo. Then they zoom right off. But anyway, lady said, well, I don't, lady one time, we were in Pennsylvania, and she says, well, I don't believe the same thing you do. She goes, the only thing I use is the King James. I said, that's great, because that's all we provide is the King James here, you know. She said, well, it's King James only, folks, you know. So, but he had a dramatic, just the opposite experience than I did. And one of the things he had is like when he was born again, he just had this amazing experience. But when he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, of evidence of praying in tongues, he didn't feel anything. Well, it doesn't, but he walked in it. I was just the opposite. When I was born again, I didn't really feel any different. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I felt like I had fire running up and down my body.
But some people, they are, again, they're questioning whether or not they have the Holy Spirit because they don't feel the same way they did maybe when they initially experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit or they got saved. So then they think, well, the Holy Spirit must not be with me because I don't feel this way. That's why people, and just stop here for a minute, that's why people are addicted to drugs because why? They're chasing the feeling. Right? They're chasing the, they want a feeling. Well, you know what? Living for the Word, being in the Word, living for God, it doesn't mean you're going to have a feeling. And just because you don't have a feeling does not mean you're not saved. You know, just because you don't have a feeling doesn't mean you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just because you don't have a feeling, we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Or we can say feelings. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. People will say something, well, just can you pray that I have a feeling? No, I'm not going to pray for feeling. I'm not going to pray that you have a feeling. I'm not going to pray you have. I just say this. When I get in prayer, I start often, but there's often feelings that do come. See, we want to start with feelings. But when we walk with God, we do things by faith in what He meets us. Whether we have feelings or not, that's great. That's completely indifferent, right? But the Holy Spirit will bring us peace, even though we don't have this big euphoric emotional time. It's just when I'm with God or when I'm walking, there's an inner peace, right? Doesn't mean I'm going ecstatic out of my mind, just, oh, I'm just happy all the time. But it means I know on the inside I have the Holy Spirit with me. I've got Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, with me at all times, we just read, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, know not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So we can just say we're all just containers, right? It depends on what we're full of. Sometimes we're... I'm not going to go there. some people are full of it, all right. But they're not. It ain't the Holy Ghost. So everywhere we go, we're containers of the Holy Spirit, right? That's why when we study the Word and we pray in the Holy Ghost, we see in Jude 20, we're not going to turn there. You can write that down. You can look it up later. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, pray in the Holy Ghost. What? Building yourselves in the most holy faith. It means that we're containers and we're charging ourselves up. That Greek word means to charge like a battery. Jude 20. So we're building ourselves up, right? And I just say this, we're leaky. You know? I know, babies, they're leaky, right? I mean, wait around 2 hours, an hour or two, right? You'll be changing some stuff. You got to what? Put stuff back in them. Bottles, all kinds of good stuff. We are the same way. How many feel drained after work sometimes, right? Right? Sometimes you just dealing with stuff or kids all day, right? Oh, they're just angels. What am I talking about, right? I'm sure your kids are perfect angels, right? But you get drained. You're emotionally drained. You're doing things. You're, you know, cleaning house. You're, you know, changing diapers. You're, you know, doing dishes. You're making meals. You're running kids here. You're doing this. You're at work, right? You're dealing with people. And you know what? You're just drained. It's easy just to stay there, isn't it? And just go, I'm going to go to bed. You know what? Sometimes we just need to just, I'll just pull up the Word sometimes. I'm in the basement. My computer's and everything up there, and I'll just pull it up. Nobody's around, everybody's in bed, and I'll just meditate on the Word, right? Because we need to replenish ourselves. We need to replenish or we need to change our thinking. Because what happens is we don't replenish ourselves and we're getting drifting off, and that's where the church is at right now, where we're accepting all kinds of sin and garbage, and we've gotten away from this. Right? Love is one thing, but being gullible is another thing, right? So we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amplified translation says, do you not discern and understand that the whole church at Corinth are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you? I like that, permanent dwelling. See, again, denominational churches, you'll see religious folks, they're just focused primarily on, oh, we got to find God. Where's God at? Help us, God. Oh, we got to send smoke signals. We got to have a light show to get God to show up. No, he's right underneath our noses. Permanently dwell in you, to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually. That is so incredibly awesome, because God is in you, but he manifests us corporately as well. That's why it's so important to come to church and get pumped up and to be fed, because there is a dynamic. You can sit at home, read the word. That's why COVID was so dangerous, because it instilled so many bad habits into people because it separates people. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get people separated, alone. But when you come corporately together, that's where you're able to see. You know, can I just say this? How many of you feel like you're just, especially during the whole COVID thing, you just, so many people went through so much depression and loneliness because they thought they're the only one experiencing things, right? And that's what the devil wants you to get. Well, you're the only one doing that. Nobody else experiences this stuff. Have you ever gone to Google before and you think, I'm going to Google something really crazy on there and it pops up? What's that tell you? 92,000 other people thought of the same question you did, right? I had some dumb thing the other day, and I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. I don't even know this is going to be on there. Sure enough, boop, popped up. I'm like, who else is thinking of something stupid like this besides me? I don't know. It was like something about the dog or something. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear, I'm the only idiot out here that really thinks of this stuff. I'm like, other people are. So, when you're online, you're like, there's other people thinking the same crazy stuff you are. Right? I mean, I hope it's not crazy, but I'm saying when you do pull things up, you're not the only one out there. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are what? Not your own. Do you realize, under covenant talk, your body is not your property anymore, and it never was? Do you know that everything you have, even yourself, is on loan from God? Where's the, my body, my choice, my this, my that, right? My body, my choice didn't apply to COVID, did it? Right? Anyway, an amplified version of the scripture says, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. Did you realize sometimes, the world and the demonic, the whole focus of the satanic Bible is do as one pleases. And you may think, well, that doesn't sound so satanic. No, that's the premise of the whole satanic Bible and the whole demonic movement is do what you want to do. Anything you want to do, right? But where real freedom is at is doing what God wants you to do. That's where true liberty comes. Why? Because when I have a revelation, this isn't my body anymore, I'm going to conform to, I'm going to get Mr. Bobby's self-control banana there, and I'm going to eat that self-control banana or whatever it is I'm doing. That's freedom. You want to know why? Because when I submit to God, he's got my back, and he's protecting me from things. You know what? When you're in sin and you're doing your own thing, what does that mean? You're throwing the cover off, and now you're opening, you're a target. I used to be in bands and travel and everything. Some of the people that I was close, good friends, are now 6 feet under because they were so out of control. Oh, you do what you want to do. Well, that's perfectly fine. But, sin's going to take you longer, farther you want to go. You're going to stay there longer. than you wanted to stay, and it's going to cost you more than you wanted to pay. But when we submit to God, there's complete freedom in that. Complete freedom. You know, I was listening to an interview and just caught me. I was like, oh, am I going to interest? And this musician I used to listen to years and years and years ago, and I had just, I don't know, tons of their albums and all kinds of stuff. And he was talking about his lifestyle, and he says, you know, I'm so ashamed of it. He's ashamed of his lifestyle, right? And this guy's like the biggest heathen you can imagine. But he was so ashamed of it. And how it was so, he talked about how empty he was by doing what he did. See, the devil always wants to paint the picture. It's just so wonderful. You're going to be free. You're going to do these things. No, you're putting a noose around your neck is what's happening. So when we have the revelation of our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, first of all, number one, now we're saying, okay, God, we're going to have ourselves. We're going to submit to you. We realize, you know, you now live in us. But guess what? You're going to fix me. You're going to help me. You're going to take care of things. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Man, oh man. This is so exciting because I sound like a goofball all the time. Around when I'm alone sometimes, I'll just be talking. Like, I'll be talking to the Holy Ghost because he's a person. Sometimes late at night, I'll be working on doing things, and I'll just sit there and talk. Or in the morning, I'll be talking in the shower. I like to pray in the Holy Ghost, like soft. Why? Because I have the understanding the Holy Spirit's in me, and I begin to talk about things. I was just, this afternoon, you know, just kind of talk about some of my routines. My routine doesn't have to be your routine, but I'm just kind of meditating on the Word, and then I'm just talking like, Lord, what about this? And you know what? I'll start hearing an answer. It's not an audible voice, but it's on the inside. And you begin to just fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he'll give you answers. He'll speak to you about things. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." How many times is he sitting here saying that he lives in us, that we're his temple? A number of times, right? Here's the Amplified, and it says, "What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them and with them and among them and walk in them and with them and among them." It always kind of reminds me of a Dr. Seuss thing, you know. "We will go on the road and around the road and under the road and above the road and we'll fly between the road." As when I read this, I kind of get this thing about like a Dr. Seuss thing. God will be in us and he'll be upon us and he'll be through us and he'll be around us and he'll be under us and he'll be on top of us and he'll be... I love the Word because when you read this stuff, you're thinking, God, I get it now. But he's like, no, you didn't get it. Let me go on here, right? And he puts it in a number of places all over the Word, right? Because he wants us to understand, I'm there. Because what's one of the biggest questions that they have in the garden, and even today, in the garden, does God really care? Does he really want the best for me? And what is the biggest thing that in the Garden of Eden was, what happened was this, separation from God, and what do we experience from this? Loneliness. You know, have you ever felt before too, where you're in a room full of people, but you're still lonely? Yeah, that is possible, right? I've known people too before that they have, oh, looky here, a little cute card. Isn't that cute? Where did that come from? A little paper there. All right, keep that for later.
I got all kinds of stuff in here. How many people have ever felt like that? You're in a room full of people and you're still lonely, right? Maybe you've got your kids all around you or something. And let me just say this. Sometimes kids just don't have adult talk, right? I mean, you know, I remember when the girls were babies, and it's hard to have a conversation when they're, you know, 6 months old, right? So you can have people around you, but you can still have loneliness. There's a cure for that. It's called the Lord, Holy Ghost. John, 1 John 4:4. I love 1 John. I love 1 John. Did I say I love 1 John? I love 1 John. And by the way, if you didn't get it, I really like 1 John. 1 John 4 says, you are of God, little children, and of what overcome them, because what greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Everything or anything that you're going to face in this world, you've already defeated it. You've already got the victory because of what Christ did. I remember Brother Hagin talking about Smith Wigglesworth went up, and he was this family, this girl was demon-possessed, and the girl was there, and Smith Wigglesworth opened the door, and there was an elderly family, and they had a daughter, and she said, "You can't cast me out because we're many." And he goes, "But Jesus can." And he said, "Come out in the name of Jesus." And those demons came flying out of her, and they said, What is it that you did to get those demons out?" He goes, 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4, right? Guys, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's the Word. Yeah, a lot of these people, that's why I get so sometimes, you got to do this, and then you got to do this, and we got to have this, and we got to have that. And years ago, I remember a long time ago, it's probably in the 70s, people were like, "We need to get higher so we can get a higher elevation, and we're going to command all over the city, and we got to get up on a helicopter, and we need to get into a plane and get higher where the principalities are at, like in Ephesians." I'm like, no, it's just speak the Word. Believe that he's in us, and no matter where we go, he's there. And then also, too, he's going to back us up. He's going to back us up. When you spend time in Africa, when there's actually real demons manifesting, I mean, they're starting to, and everybody here is medicated, but, you know, there it's like, you know, I was just laughing so hard, this demon-possessed guy come running at me in Africa, and I laughed. Students there, he just ran right at me. I'm like, "Bring it on, buddy. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world," right? Witch doctors all over the place, all kinds of demonic stuff going on. Doesn't matter. He got delivered. Amen. End of story. One of the pastors I preached in his church in Africa, he was the vice president of Kenya. His witch doctor was having a bleeding issue, and you know, he put hexes and spells on people and everything and did all this other stuff. He went up, prayed for him, and we tried to go to the Muslims, they couldn't do it. Tried to go to all these other witch doctors, they couldn't get him healed. This pastor, many, went up, laid hands on him, immediately he was healed. Gave up witchcraft, gave up being a witch doctor. Because great is he that's in you, that's he that's in the world. Gary Crow, he's preached here a few times. Used to be the dean of Rhema, Bible college I went to. Talking about being in Haiti, at Rhema Haiti, the college there, some of the witch doctors got together, former witch doctors that got born again. He said, "You know, your people, you would walk by us while we're doing seances, while we're doing casting our spells, while we're doing our witchcraft, and everything would be interrupted just because you walked by."
That's the power of God in us, right? And we think we got to beg God to get him to do anything for us, right? I'm just saying, greater is he that's in you, that's born again, than he that's in the world, right? I was had an addiction problem to alcohol, right? I had addictions, and I got rededicated. Major and I told the story about 1,000 times, but we got married, rededicated myself back to God. I had liquor and all kinds of stuff in the fridge. It was there after I rededicated myself. It was like 2 or 3 weeks, and I forgot all about it. I'm like, oh, I still have, you know, Bud Light. And that was before all the political weird stuff with Bud Light, you know. And I forgot about it. Because you know what? I picked this up, and I thought, you know what? If I believe God, he's going to deliver me from all these addictions. And it was supernatural for me. There was no, oh, I'm trying, and I'm going to do this. And I mean, everybody's got their own, you know, how you know, what your journey is. But I was delivered just like that. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I haven't had a desire to drink at all. In fact, it just blew. If I think about that, I get physically ill if I think about alcohol and junk like that. It's not because I'm so great. It's because God's so great. And it's because he delivered me. See, when I tell testimonies, it's not because I'm so great or anything. It's because you don't know where I've come from. You have no idea, like, what I've come from, you know? I mean, and it's really interesting because I didn't really start getting, because I know Brother Hagin deals with this too, but, you know, we got, one of the things after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit was I need you to help me change some things in my life. Like, you know, I could read fine, I could do things, but I had some issues that when I would read, it was hard for me to do certain things. And you know what? I believe God. I'm like, God, you're gonna have to help me read, because I would just read slow. I couldn't read. There was like some comprehension things. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I can take and I can read this like it's supernatural. I'm telling you right now. It's not because, again, it's just what God has done in my life, where I have started and where I have come is like light years because of the Holy Ghost. I just believe he can help me do things, whether it's reading, whether it's comprehension, whether it's studying, whether it's doing things. It's I can look at things now and I can just analyze them quickly, process it, and spit information out that I wasn't able to do before. Because of somebody living in me, helping me. We just read he's going to be our helper, our guide, our enemy. He's our helper. It says he's going to bring back things to remembrance. I mean, Brother Hagin would sit there and just spit out. I remember being in class, and Adrian and I would go see him at other times, and we, you know, whether we travel, he would just read and just spit out chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. What's he doing? Spirit in him is just bringing those things out. You know, if God lives in us, he's interested in our everyday lives. He's interested in helping us getting better at school, reading, comprehending things. There's no reason why we shouldn't be the best. And it's not because of an arrogance issue. It's because we got somebody living in us that can help us, that we can see things. He's going to show us things to come. Brother Hagin, I remember his older, I'll close with this story. His older brother, Dub, he said, I would always know by the Spirit what was going on with my family. And we should pray about those things too, right? We as parents and people, we should pray that God is going to reveal things to us. Well, he said he was in Oregon and his brother was here in Iowa. And this is, of course, you know, several years ago when Brother Hagin was, Kenneth Hagin was traveling around. But he said, I told Aretha, because Aretha was with him, his wife, and he said, I knew there was something wrong with him, but it was going to be okay. Well, his sister called and said, well, you know, all hysterical, and said that Dove's been in a car accident and he's broke his back. And he says, I knew that 3 hours before the Lord spoke to me and said that he was going to be okay and that he was in trouble. Well, then later the doctor said, your back is broken, but I don't know how you're not paralyzed. Well, it's because of Brother Hagin praying, right? It's because people praying. Why? Because the Holy Spirit showed him things, because the Holy Spirit's living in him and revealing things to him about his family. Why? Not just, can I just say something too? The Holy Spirit's going to show you things, not so you can get on the phone and gossip to everybody either. You know, I've known people before, I don't know how I'm going off this, I've known people before where they'll say, well, the Lord showed me this, and then they're sitting there telling everybody about this stuff, and I'm thinking, and then I notice how the Lord doesn't share as many things, or they don't have as many things. Why? Because we've got to understand when the Holy Spirit shows us things, we've got to understand, we've got to have wisdom and know what to do with it, right? And so Brother Hagin was show this these things about his family. Why? So that he can pray. You know, we're seeing things here too. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Years ago, when we were in the old facility, even before that, I began to pray. There was three things that the Holy Ghost was showing me to pray out. And we're seeing one, there's one of them has already come to pass, and I'm believing for the other two are, and I believe we're going to see those things. One of them was the overturn of abortion. That seemed impossible, right? Every legal scholar I've ever seen on TV said that it's going to take years. It's going to be a chipping away at an iceberg. It's going to be so long. You know what? That happened overnight. The other two things are, we're going to see some massive changes in our nation, in our government. I'm praying that I've been praying that massive things have been being exposed. The corruption, I believe we're going to see that at some point. Amen? And so, you know, there's things that the Holy Spirit will show you things. That's why you need, and nobody was talking about this. I mean, of course, you know, we wanted to see things. But for 20 plus years, I've been praying these things out in the spirit realm to pray it out. The Holy Spirit will show you things to pray out. And you know what? Can I just say this too? Not everything you pray and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal is about you. See, that's where growth comes in, where you can spend time. I have prayed for everybody in this church over the years, and again, it has nothing to do with me. Wednesday night prayer has nothing to do with me. It has to do with praying for everyone here, and that's why I appreciate everybody that's on the prayer calls. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit will show us things to pray out that we need to pray. That's part of being led by the Holy Spirit and being Spirit-filled. Why? So you can pray. Matthew chapter 6, it says, Jesus is the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Your will on earth as what? As it is in heaven. Why? Because we're praying down God's will into this realm to be manifest the way that God wants it done. Again, it's not, you know, Christianity, the whole world system is all about me, my feelings, what I feel like, how I'm going to get an erotic feeling, or I'm going to get these feelings, and I'm going to feel good. It's about me, it's about me, it's about me. The kingdom is about all of you. And bringing as many people as we can into the kingdom. But again, not just the normal church is about pulling people, let's get you born again, let's get you into the church, so that you won't leave. Well, the point is this, you need to be spirit-filled so you can be born again, so you can have an encounter with God, so you'll be able to impact other people. Right? Because it's not about a denomination, but it's about how can we connect you with God so that he can breathe life into you, not so you can just have this fabulous life, but you'll discover your purpose. That's the most important thing. Two things. Worship God is the main thing. And then also, too, is to discover your purpose. How many people have a ton of money, but they're absolutely miserable? How many people are doing things they absolutely despise because they're just doing it for money? It's weird, but, you know, the things that I have experienced the most pleasure are to most people, are the most ridiculous things. Like, I have shoveled snow, I have mowed grass for the church, I have just doing things because cleaning toilets in the past. It's because it's to make the church look nice. It's to bless people so they can come in and receive. You know, I never wanted to be a pastor, ever. And some days I'm like, somebody else can probably do this better than me. But I just had so much joy just on mowing grass, you know, just helping with praise and worship, doing these things, because I had more joy behind the scenes than I was in front of people. And why? Because I was just being used by him. I just want to help. That was it. I was just like, God, I just want to help. This is awesome just to be, you know, used by you. And the greatest joy that you're going to have in this life is, first of all, knowing Jesus. Second of all, is knowing your purpose and running after it. Knowing your purpose. It doesn't mean you're going to travel all over and have this big platform preaching ministry, but maybe it's just ministering to kids. Maybe it's, you know, whatever it is that it is. You know what? We need Christian people. We need Spirit-filled people in the business realm. We need Spirit-filled people that are, you know, working. We need teachers that are Spirit-filled. Oh, my goodness. We need teachers that are Spirit-filled. Hello? Right? We need people in government. You know, you're like, well, that's not really serious. We need Christian people in government. We need all of these people. It's not just, where has God called you to be? There's one guy that I mentioned his name. He was a businessman. You can probably figure out who I'm talking about. But we think that, you know, people aren't divinely called by God to do certain things. My goodness, we need Christian people in every walk of life. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you're innocent upon us, Lord. My prayer tonight is that every person here would have the revelation that you live in us, you're upon us, and you're here to show us and reveal things to us, Lord. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're with us. You're not against us, you're for us, and you're passionately pursuing and in love with us, and we are passionately pursuing and love with you, Father, tonight. We glorify you in the name of Jesus. Also, too, before we close, if you are not born again or you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues and you want to receive that, we want to pray with you, too, afterwards. Amen. We love you guys. Have a great week. Amen.